Morning. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief, and by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body, and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. To me, the very least of the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through him and through faith in him. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, and so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, beyond all we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 3, he's continuing on in this part of the book. Remember, the first three chapters deal with who we are in Christ. This idea of being in Christ, of what it means to have a life that's hidden in him. And then the next three chapters are talking about what does that mean? How do we live out a life that's in Christ? And so Paul begins off, and he's getting a little personal in the beginning. And he says, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. Remember that this is considered one of the prison epistles. So this is while most likely Paul's imprisonment in Rome, and he's starting to write these letters back to the churches that he was very familiar with, and he started and he planted and loved and prayed for constantly. In fact, in here, and already in three chapters, we have two prayers that actually Paul writes about, which is not very common. You don't really see Paul literally writing out his prayers, but we see them already two prayers in a couple books. Again, Ephesians is not a letter dealing with a specific issue, not like the Corinthians when he's dealing with these false apostles that were coming, false teachers. These are just pure letters explaining the gospel, explaining the life that they have in Christ. And so he starts off, and he spends quite a bit of time. The first part of this, broken up into a couple different parts, is he talks about this mystery that we have, the revelation of this mystery of the grace of God, and then the fellowship of the mystery, and then he gets to his prayer. And so he talks here about this mystery, in Greek, this mysterion. And there's a real truth to this. For the most part, the gospel is quite mysterious. The gospel, the Bible, is one of these books that, in fact, in order for you to really, really understand God, you have to have faith. In order for you to really grasp what the Bible is saying, you have to have faith. Otherwise, if you don't, it becomes kind of weirdness, and I think most of us could kind of relate to that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, he says, it's 1 Corinthians 2:14. He says, but a natural man, in other words, saying this is an unspiritual man, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised or they're spiritually examined. And so, Paul is letting you guys know, in order for a person to understand spiritual things, you have to be a spiritual person. In order for you to grasp the things of the Spirit of God, there has to be something that works within us. Something that's one key aspect of experiencing God that you know, it's all very fresh because I'm teaching two classes right now. I've never done that before. I've never taught two classes of EG during the same time. But as I'm going through this, these things keep coming up over and over again. And one of the things in EG that Black Obey talks about is that no one seeks after God. No one does. There is none righteous, not even one. And so anytime you come across anybody, especially an unspiritual person, and they are expressing any kind of interest in God, church, prayer, Jesus, any of these things, then immediately it should be a sign for the believers to say, hey, Holy Spirit is at work in this person's life. You know, I mean, this person could be drunk, right? I mean, you could be out somewhere and just totally wasted, and they're talking about Jesus. God is working in this person's life. There is none righteous, not even one. No one seeks after God. And so as we're witnessing to people, as we have our antennas and radars up, this is part of this mystery. No one seeks after him. And so if there's anyone that comes your way and they express any kind of interest in church or righteousness or any of these things, you can rest assured that Holy Spirit is working in their life in some way. And there's where this partnership comes in. And it's this incredible mystery. It's so wrought in so many different kinds of mysteries. The revelation was made known to me, the mystery, as I wrote before in brief. And that when you... referring to this, when you read this verse 4, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which other generations was not made known to the sons of men as it has been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. The Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ. Now he's talking about the fellowship of this mystery. Not only is that he's a partaker of this mystery of Christ, that there's something here that really goes beyond our natural faculties, right? I mean, really, in all my years, I'll be just perfectly honest, in all my years I've been a pastor, it's almost 20 years now, believe it or not. And as I think and look about, I've only known one person, honestly, I only know one person in my whole life that actually came to the Lord intellectually. That just purely out of intellect, out of reason and deduction, that they came to Jesus and just said, yes, you know. And in particular, this person actually read C.S. Lewis and just realized. And he came to Jesus in this way. You know, and I look and I said, man, every other person that I've known, probably most of us that are sitting here, we probably came to the Lord, obviously our intellect, because I'm not saying that we're all dumb, you know, but our intellect played a part in this. But it was, invariably, it was probably an experience that you had with God. It was something that actually went beyond your intellect, that went beyond your faculty of reasoning, went beyond your ability to deduce and reduce and think and whatnot. You probably had an event that took you beyond yourself in your mental capabilities. And I'm not just talking about, like, you saw signs and wonders and supernatural. I mean, it's all supernatural, but you know, it's not like you saw these signs and wonders. I know for me, it wasn't that at all. For me, my first instant was actually when I met these missionaries in Mexico that were basically gave their life to these deaf kids, these deaf orphans. You know, my junior year in university, I remember it so well. And after I met these people, I mean, these were smart, intelligent, that literally gave their life to live in some desert teaching these deaf orphans. You know, and it just went beyond my reason. It went beyond my natural faculty of, why would you do this? Why would you spend your life with these poor Mexican kids? I don't understand. You know, and being a college student that, you know, wanted to make a lot of money as I graduated and, you know, typical, it just fried my brain in essence. It went beyond my intellect. And so that could be, I think, probably for many of us here, It could have been a sign and wonder, or it could have been something, an experience with God or the people of God that went beyond your ability to reason. And Paul is really making this case. Right? It's a mystery. It's a mystery. I mean, honestly, this whole idea of mystery, it keeps me humble. It keeps me very, very humble. It keeps me dependent on God. You know, one of the great mysteries that I contemplate often is I think about a message that I give, and I think about people in this room, right, on a typical Sunday, maybe 300, 350 people or whatnot, and the same message can be given, and some people, they just eat it up. It's like life to them. You know, it's profound, it's deep, it does something in our hearts. I mean, I was thinking about it actually on Sunday. You know, I had the privilege of listening to Pastor Eugene speak, and I was sitting in the way back, and I think I want to keep doing this a little more often. And so, number one, I noticed all the people that are late. I mean, that's a bad Sunday to be late. Number two, aside from that, I get to see people, what's going on while they're listening to the message. You know, no offense, Huge. That's nothing to do with your message. Hey, you shaved your... Okay. Right? But some people were falling asleep. You know, some people were checking their emails. You know, and I looked. I made sure that they weren't reading the Bible. No, they were on some website, right? And so I had close proximity. And it's just very interesting. Interesting enough, all those people that were doing that, they actually came late. Really, we should do a survey or study or something. Right, but you know, so part of me says, "What are you even doing here? I mean, why'd you even show up? You have some kind of religious duty you have to fulfill. You sit there, and you might as well just sit at home and go down your computer. That's what you basically did the whole day, right? Or the whole service that you were there. You know, I mean, that's a whole other thing. But it's this mystery. And then there were people sitting next to me, you know, and I could just hear, "Amen, yeah," you know, as he's preaching, "Yes." And just something in the Spirit of God just stirring. And then literally person sitting two chairs from me is kind of falling asleep. That's, to me, that is an incredible mystery. It's the same Word of God. You know what I mean? It's the same power of God's Word, the preached Word, the rhema of God going forth. Yet the effect is so different. In the same sense, and I was talking to another brother on Sunday. You know, as he was coming in, I was just saying hello, and we just started sharing a bit, and he started sharing his testimony with me. He was saying that, you know, things were moving along, and then when he right after college, his dad died. And so it had this effect. So there were two brothers. One brother drew really, really close to God through that incident. Another brother, he's talking about himself, got further and further away from the Lord. How does that work? In one family, one same singular event happens, same DNA, right? Two brothers, and one draws closer to God, and one draws further away from God. Same axial event. This is the mystery of God, the mystery of Christ. You know, how can people be at church and just sit there and listen week after week to messages, and yet in their private life be cheating on their wife and stuff like that? Wow. It's a mystery. But you know what this does? You know what this mystery does? It makes us humble, and hopefully it makes us pray. It makes us say, "God, there are certain things that are beyond my control." Even as a pastor, right? As a minister, you know, I could try to do as much as I can in terms of the teaching and the reading and you know what I mean? And the caring for sheep and all these things. But there's this whole other hump or, you know, something else there that's needed to cause people to mature and to grow in Christ. And there are sometimes that there's people, you know, and there's people that you feed constantly. And then there's people on the fringes, outskirts, that just grow, where there's really no interaction, even with the church and whatnot, and then just something happens inside. It's a mystery. It makes us humble, and it should make us pray. Because we don't know what's going on, but we do know that God answers prayer, right? That something happens in this mystery. So he's talking about this. And then he talks about this fellowship that we have. Remember, one of the main things that Paul wants to really address in Ephesians is this idea of unity. That we're all one, that Christ Jesus, through the giving of His Spirit, He makes us all one. And so we should have this same idea. And so He's coming together in this place, and He says, we're all fellow partakers of the promise of Christ through the gospel. And so we are all sharing in the fellowship of this mystery. We're all partakers of this mystery of God in our lives as we come together. And he says, even for me, the very least of the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for the ages was hidden in God, created for all things. So he's talking about, see, this is how we operate together as a body. We are all partakers of this mystery. Every single one of us, we play a part in using my own words, of really unraveling this mystery in people's lives, right? It's tag team. You know, I was in Korea. I was in Sarang a couple of weeks ago. I was preaching, and Sarang has three Sunday services, and they're all very distinct. So the morning service, the first service at Sarang in their English ministry, is like they have a full orchestra, you know, full choir, very like old school. And then the second one is kind of middle of the road, kind of normal one. And the last one is very energetic, you know, so probably a little more spiritual than the other ones. But in the morning one, they had this orchestra. And, you know, I was getting my mic set up and everything. And I looked over at the orchestra and I said, I know that guy. And we're kind of, do you ever have that moment when you like, you know someone, you don't know really, like, who is it? And you just kind of stare at each other for a while. And usually your head kind of turns. It's like, that guy, he looks familiar. You know, I don't know why. It's still the same. We think people look different in different angles, right? But, you know, you kind of do this with your head. And, you know, and I remember that guy. And he actually used to play for the Hong Kong Philharmonic. He was, you know, we used to have one of our church members who was the concert master for the Hong Kong Phil, and he used to bring some of his Philharmonic guys to church, and we played basketball together and stuff. And I remember this guy, and I would always share the gospel with him, and he just started laughing all the time. He's just one of those guys I share about Jesus. He just, because it was kind of like, it was uncomfortable, you know, and so it's like one of those guys that just laugh to fight off kind of uncomfortableness, right? And so, and he would just start laughing. I'd be like, what's wrong with this guy? You know, I'm like, you know, do you know Jesus? He just always started laughing. You know, and I just said, okay, whatever. Well, he ended up moving to Korea, and he joined the Seoul Philharmonic. And then after a few years in the Seoul Philharmonic, he's been there for like 7 years now. After a few years in the Seoul Philharmonic, he came to Sarang, and he got saved. I mean, he gave his life to the Lord, and now he's actually marrying a girl. They're getting actually married in I think, next month. You know, to a girl that he met at the church, and it was great. And I saw this guy, and he's not Korean, he's Chinese, right? So he's going to this Korean church. And so I looked at this guy and I said, man, this is, think about this mystery, and think about this fellowship of the mystery. Here's this Chinese guy that speaks English. I think he's Canadian. And we have a church here in Hong Kong that actually speaks English. You know what I mean? And yet he gets saved in a Korean church. Korean speak, not the EM, in the Korean ministry, you know, and he goes off, he doesn't even understand the language, and he gets saved in a Korean ministry, and now he's marrying this girl, and she barely speaks English. I mean, just this incredible mystery. And then, you know, in the beginning, I got to share, I was just sharing with the church before I started preaching, and I said, hey, this is the beauty of the kingdom of God. Right, here's this guy that, you know, that bunch of us have been witnessing to, and we just laugh. And then a few years later on, he gets saved in this church. And, you know, and I looked at Pastor Doug, and I was saying, this is kingdom of God, man, right? We get to share in the ministry. We get to share in this mystery of God, right? And so, you know, I mean, on a side note, when it comes to witnessing and things like that, I don't want you to think that you always have to close a deal. Do you know what I mean? You know, if you get to do that, that is the blessing of God. And I know that in many ways I'm a holy thief, in that way. What I mean by that is that because I'm a pastor, I get to lead a lot of people to Christ, but I know as many other people's labors and work, many other prayers of people, many other people's sacrifices, you know, and I just get to be the one that actually lead them to the Lord. And so, you know, in a sense, a holy thief in that way, but it's all good because we all take credit in the kingdom. You know, in missiology, we have this thing called the Engel scale. And it's this missiologist that developed this scale. And he just says that people come to the Lord, zero meaning never heard of God, to 10 being, getting saved, right? I mean, accepting Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. And he says that most people don't go from 0 to 10 automatically. Sometimes they do, but it's very rare. Usually they take steps along this scale and they get to this place 10. It's quite a well-known thing. And so you realize that we all play a little part in this mystery. We share Christ with somebody, and they continue on and move along this scale. And you may be the one that actually ends up closing the deal, but I guarantee there's many people that played a part. This is this fellowship. We're partakers in this unfathomable riches of Christ. We're partakers, fellow heirs, and we get to share in this mystery of God as brothers and sisters. It's such an amazing privilege of God that every single one of us, we get to play something along this scale to get people on their way to follow Jesus. One of the brothers sent an email this past week, and the bottom of the email, you know how people do like really cute quotes and stuff like that? I really like this one. It said, Christians read the Bible, non-Christians read Christians. I thought, oh, that was profound. I mean, that was really deep, right? And so the way we live our lives, the things that we do, every single part of it, right, we're adding to someone's scale. We're moving them along. Every good work, right, that is unseen by anyone else but the Lord, it has an impact in people's lives. Because people are watching us, they're reading us, and we get to allow them to move along in this thing. And then Paul gets to this prayer. I mean, what an incredible prayer that he prays. You thought the first prayer, do you remember the one in chapter 1 was good? This is even better. I mean, just the depth, and it's all centered on this love of Christ. The first part there, he says he would grant you, according to the riches of glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. Paul has this very distinct theology of our inner being, you know, recognizing that, you know, remember in Corinthians he says, though our outer man is decaying, our inner man is being renewed day by day. It's the Spirit working within us that stirs something within us, that creates dynamite to flow out of our lives, the Spirit touching our spirit. And this is our inner man. How do you build up this inner man? Well, we're going to talk about it in a few weeks, actually praying in tongues. Is one of the way that we build up this inner man inside of us. And so he says that his prayer, this is his prayer for the church. It should be a prayer for all of us that we would know that Christ would dwell in our hearts through faith and that we'd be rooted and grounded in love and that we'd be able to comprehend. In other words, we'd be able to understand. Again, this is the unraveling of this mystery. To understand with all the saints, again, unity, the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to the fullness of God. We're going to talk about fullness more tomorrow, so I don't want to spend too much time right now. But this is what he wants. He wants us to come to this place of fullness. When are we going to come to the place of fullness? When Jesus comes back. All right, that's going to be the culmination of the fullness that happens. And then he ends off, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we ask or think. God is able. See, that there's a really demonic idea that resonates in the church. And this idea basically says that God is stingy. That God is a stingy God. You shouldn't give because, you know, you're gonna be in debt, or you're gonna lose your job, or you're gonna all these things. And we don't realize that our God is not a stingy God. oh, we shouldn't do this, or we shouldn't do that, or we shouldn't give ourselves in this way, and oh no, we shouldn't even pray because God doesn't really listen to us anyway. We shouldn't, and on this subtle lie that's really infiltrated the church that says God is a stingy God. God is not stingy. All right, God is gracious, He's compassionate, He's overflowing with loving kindness and truth, abounding with loving kindness and truth. You know, but there's this idea that this permeates our hearts and our minds. It says He's stingy. Oh, He's not really going to answer that prayer. You can keep trying, but He's really busy with Iran and Iraq and Israel, you know, so He doesn't really have much time for you. You know, or I mean, so many different levels that we offer these prayers and these requests. And He says, no, He's not a sin. He's able to do so much more than what we ask or think. I don't know about you, but I can think of some crazy stuff. You know what I mean? I mean, my mind, I could think of some just ludicrous, outrageous stuff. And the Bible says He's even more abundantly than that. He's not a stingy God. Our God is extremely, extremely generous. That's why, you know, seasons of revival are oftentimes, not oftentimes, they are great because it takes the lid off that lie of stinginess and we realize that God is extravagant and He flows within us. So let's close our eyes for a moment. I encourage you to think about this. So many things in this chapter. But we talk about the mystery. Are we one that thinks like we got this figured out? Are we one that says, oh, I got God figured out? He does this, He doesn't do this, He does it sometimes, usually He doesn't want to do this. Or we have humbled ourselves and understood the mystery of God, the mystery of Christ. It should keep us humble. It should keep us on our knees. Not in insecurity, but in dependence. Because God is mysterious, it doesn't make us insecure, but it should make us dependent. I want to encourage you this morning, if you feel like you have God figured out, to open your hearts up a little bit more. Maybe you have a sense that maybe you bought into the lie that God is stingy. Maybe you've been praying for something for a long time. But He's a generous God, overflowing. And ask the Lord, by the Spirit of God, to change your heart and your mind this morning. Let's pray together.
Every breath that I take, every every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. This is my desire.
Let's pray this morning. Let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray for people around us. Let's pray that we would come to be at peace with the mystery of God. If there are people that you're witnessing to, that you're sharing your life with, and pray that God would draw them to Himself. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to Myself. Well, He's already been lifted up. He's already paid the price. Now it's time for us to join alongside with what He's already doing. And so let's pray. Pray for yourself. Pray for your friends. Pray for the church. Pray that we'd understand and join along in this mystery. Be partakers of it. If you're encouraged by Hyja's testimony on Sunday, let's continue to lift up our friends here on the list and pray for God's healing word to go forth. Pray for the spirit of encouragement over their families, and they will just continue to move forward. I talked to Jin this week, and Jin's mom, who's got ovarian cancer, it doesn't look good. Apparently, this is her third or fourth bout of cancer. She's been sick since he was 16 years old. And so let's just really pray for God just to move on Jin's mom. You know, part of this, I didn't know, she actually is not a believer yet either. And so let's just really pray that God would just do something, especially in her life and their family life as well, as you lift up. Let's pray. Thank you. Let's pray for those that are ill, that need that word of salvation, others that are going through different illnesses. And let's ask God's hand to come over them. Let's pray for ones that are looking for work. Huh? Let's ask God to provide for them. In the same way, we actually got an email from one of our members and who's a VP at his place. And he said there's quite a few job openings. Huh? Let's pray that maybe even people in our church that are in positions of hiring and doing these things, that there will be some kind of internal connection that happens here. And so let's pray that the jobs would find these people. Huh? Let's just ask God to open the doors in that way. Let's pray for China. Huh? Let's go to our mission focus and let's ask God's hand to be upon this nation. Let's pray for our church plant in Beijing. Continue to pray for the Kims and the Lees and for Mary, the leaders there. There's 20-some of them coming to the retreat. And let's pray for a safe flight over to China and join us during that time. I pray for the Chungs that are here in Hong Kong right now. I pray that God would speak to them about the next phase of their life and their ministry. Pray for Matt and Nate's parents. Pray for the Basarabas. Leanne, who will be making her way here to Hong Kong soon as well. Edie Clark and the kids in Chichihar, the government, the churches. Let's ask God to just continue to move through this nation. That's going to be so important in the next 20 years. Huh? And so let's ask God to, that the Spirit of God would hover over this place. Thank you. Let's pray for the church staff. I know that are quite busy getting ready for the retreat. Let's ask God for wisdom and for a lot of grace in the midst of the fatigue. Let's pray for the board and for the missions committee and the decisions and whatnot, things that they make. Let's pray for God's hand to be with them and touch their families as well. Let's pray for Pastor Salamat and his family and the Febe ministry. Let's ask God to continue to touch their ministry. Pray for the Korean church as well. And ask God to continue to use them. Let's pray for our retreat coming up. Let's pray that every person that signed up, that I know there's still a few obstacles with people, visa issues, work issues. Let's pray that the Lord would just set the table for and everything would go smoothly. Pray for our speakers. Pray for every person that comes, that they would experience God. We have lately 294 people right now. And so let's just ask God to really bless the church that comes out. And the other side, too, is that I know there's a lot of people not coming that are part of the church. Now let's pray for a real spirit of conviction to come upon them, you know, that this is family matters, right? This is family stuff. And so let's pray that God would speak to them as well. And so let's just really lift up this retreat, ask God's hand to be with us, and just pray the Spirit of God would just touch every person that's coming out to China this weekend. So let's lift up. Let's pray for our house churches meeting tonight, the Bonham, Kowloon, Lan Kwai Fong, Old Peak, and Happy Valley. And let's just pray the Holy Spirit would just move upon them and hand of God will be with them. Bless the leaders, bless the discussion, the time of fellowship. There will be a real connecting with God and with each other. Let's just lift up. Thank you. Father, we thank you, God, that you've chosen us, Lord, as to be partakers in this mystery of Christ. That there is so much, God, that you have in store for us, Lord, so much more than what we're experiencing now. Lord, and we just want to continue to run to you, God, continue to receive from you, Lord, continue to be dependent upon you. Lord, we pray that you'd watch over us this day. Lord, help us to give your Son, Jesus, all the glory that's due his name. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great day today. We'll see you guys tomorrow morning.